Welcome to the Seven Figure Leaders podcast. This podcast was created to celebrate the success stories of seven-figure business owners, giving them a platform to share their insights and lessons learned in order to inspire other business owners. As well as that, it's an opportunity to build new connections. So if you're a seven-figure business owner or someone who works with seven-figure business owners, and you're looking for introductions to potential stakeholders, strategic partners, and clients, I'd love to hear from you or have you on as a guest and see if I can help make those connections for you. Just go to synergycfosolutions.co. That's synergycfosolutions.co and click podcast. And there you'll find the link to apply. Welcome. And today we've got Enver Khanna from Accounting Direct Plus. Welcome, Enver.
Hello. Good morning, Tom.
Thanks for joining us. So best place to start, we were talking a bit before we pressed live about what you do and how you help your clients. So perhaps you can share that with the audience.
Sure. So as you said, Accounting Direct Plus, or ADPL. We are a firm of chartered certified accountants based in London. How we help our clients? We don't just provide compliance. Compliance can be done by anyone there. So we act like a signpost. So the client has any problems, doesn't matter what it is. If you don't know it, we know someone who does. So if it's going to be somebody they want to, you know, have a CFA, then we'll come to you like you, Tom, and say, come on, come and help out the client for a few months or few over the period. If they have an issue with, maybe they want a loan. Okay, we don't do corporate finance, but you know people that do. If they have an issue with, nowadays, ESG is a big thing now. So we work with a partner to provide the ESG solutions. So it's really, we try to be proactive, and we try to make sure the client knows what's involved. We work with insurance brokers, we work with basically, you know, wealth managers. So we don't just say, okay, our job is to make sure your books are done and reported. Our job is to make sure that the company or the individual actually runs the business profitably, efficiently, and we are here to support in any way, in any shape, size we can do.
Yeah. Okay. So is there a typical profile of the types of client that you work with?
Usually it's owner managed. Could be from, I don't know, million to 10 million turnover. They're in usually service sector. We don't really have that much manufacturing being based in London. Although we have some clients that call themselves manufacturing, but they're actually food processors. And so the usual client is, as you asked, is basically in service industry, somebody who manages the practice with the help of either family or in-house management team. And our job is to support that team to provide, to run the, you know, we tell the client, and the question I always ask is, what do you want from this? You know, you have an exit plan. Do you know what you want in five years? So it's always questions and meetings. So I try to have this, especially the meeting with clients at least once a month, but diverse at least every 3 months.
And you do those meetings individually?
Yes. So okay. My role within the firm is not, I don't do tax returns, I don't do accounts, my job is to bring in clients, look after the existing clients, I look after and be the client. Sort of, I am the link between the firm and the client and everybody else out there.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're working more on stuff that moves the needle and grows the business, bringing new clients in and making sure your existing ones are happy at a high level.
Correct.
Yeah. And so what are the typical problems that your clients face before they start working with you?
Mostly is not being able to reach their accountants. So I really find it very strange that in this day and age, when the communication is available in so many different formats, that some accountants refuse to take calls or answer their emails, or, you know, that's the main thing. You know, what I hear is, oh, I can't reach my accountant. I want to ask a question, but I can't reach my accountant. And it's, to me, I don't understand. And I understand that some accountants want to do everything themselves instead of employing people to do, you know, the basic compliance. So they're not available. That's the main thing. Secondly, when the businesses grow, their existing accountants may not be able to help them as they used to, you know, when they were small. So they come to us because we are a medium-sized firm. It happens to us. Client grows, gets bigger, and goes to top 10, top 20, because they want to join AIM or something. So it's a national preparation for everyone. But it's mainly people, mainly their accountants not doing what it says on the box, helping clients to, you know, to do things that they need to do.
Okay. And so maybe a bit of an obvious answer to the question, but what do you do to help them solve those problems?
So the first thing is to sit down and listen. I think we listen. It's quite important to listen to what they are trying to achieve, what their problems are, and how we can help them. Sometimes we may not be able to help them, but we can sort of signpost them to other people that can help them. You know, sometimes people say, okay, can you come and sit and, you know, look after my business accounts, finance for next 3 months? Well, sorry, I can't, because I've got other clients that I need to deal with. But I always go to people like you, Tom, say, oh, somebody say, well, I've got a problem with my insurance broker. He's just refusing to cover me. Happened a couple of weeks ago. So I said, well, try this guy. If it doesn't work, come back to me. I'll do another one. And things like that. And also, what we do is, I always put not a manager, but somebody who's actually behind the phone. So if I'm not available, they can reach somebody else. I have a team that, you know, it's a team thing. You know, it's not like that one-man show. It's not, and this is where the problem is, I think, with most accountants. It's a team thing. You know, I can't do everything, and then I don't know everything. I'm the first to admit, you know, I've been in the profession for the last 40 years. But I, you know, so obviously there are other people, you know, if you ask me, how do I post an item on Xero? I know it, but I'm not going to sit down and explain it to you, but I will give somebody else or link you to somebody in the office that will do it. It's a team thing.
Yeah. And so you mentioned before we went live that you actually help business owners with their cash flow and problems in the business that they face. Now, one of the very common questions that I get asked as a fractional CFO is, why isn't my accountant helping me with these sorts of problems? I think there's a misconception that an accountant would help a business owner with all things financial in general, right? Because the role of an accountant, if this is what the scope of work dictates, is that the accountant's going to file your accounts and tell you how much tax you're going to pay at the end of the year, but they're not necessarily going to help you understand your cash flow every month unless that's what you what is agreed that you're going to help them with. But it sounds like you provide that level of service to your clients as well. Is that right?
I'm not going to sit down and say that accountants are guilty of this, because sometimes the clients don't want to pay for their service. So when I send a price, or when I do prospect, I give them three different options. One is just compliance, nothing but compliance. Second is to deal with issues, maybe quarterly. And the third one is, you know, it's dealing with everything on a daily basis. Depends what they, you know, obviously the third option is going to be very expensive.
Yeah.
Well, nothing is expensive. Sorry. It's not like expensive is the right word. It's going to reflect what the job that I am proposing to do.
Yeah.
But they say, well, I don't think I'm going to need that service every month. But you know, and I know, a business needs that service because cash is the most important thing. And if you don't want to, you know, anybody can sell. I can sell anything you want me to sell, as long as I don't have to collect the money. This is the issue. So what I say is, well, these are three options. This is basic. And this is something that I'm going to be holding your hand. And sometimes people don't want that. People say, well, I'll buy that in when I need to. And then obviously the accountant is moved on. He's got a new accountant, a new client. And the one that just wants compliance, okay, somebody in the office can do that. And he's going to get, you know, how many people can I look after? Not many. So once I commit to you, I won't be able to help the guy that didn't want it in the first place. And this is what's happening, I think, in our profession. Mm. We offer it. It's not taken on. We move on. But it's good to... So I always go back and ask the same question to a client that said no before. Okay, we said no last year. What about this year? Is there anything changed? Do you want me to hold your hand more often? And so yes, I agree with what you're saying. But I think on the accountant's defense, we ask, we are said, we told no, and then we move on. So it's a two-way. That's why I keep saying communication, communication, communication.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And something else I would add to that is that actually they might say that they don't want the help initially, but then when they realize they do want the help, it's often too late. Because if the business owner knows that they've got serious cash flow problems or that they're unprofitable or whatever the problem is, and then they want help, well, sometimes it is actually too late to unravel whatever's happened. Whereas if you can not preempt that happening, because obviously we don't want it to happen in the first place, but if you can make sure it doesn't happen in the first place by getting the support early on, then you can end up, or the business owner can end up in a much better position.
Yeah, I mean, what we do here is that the team, obviously we do clients upload the documents up to the zero. Our job is to just check things and make sure the VAT is filed. So when we do, even if we don't do anything for a client, end of the quarter, when we're doing the quarterly VAT, and we notice there are issues, there are payments, there's nothing in the bank, there are issues. So what we do is we contact, or the team contacts the client and says, look, we think there are issues here. Do you want us to step in and maybe, you know, find you somebody to give you a loan for at least 6 months, because it looks like you may not be able to pay your VAT or your corporation tax. So it looks like, or you have issues with collecting debtors. Do you want us to introduce somebody to actually help you collect that money owed to you? So we used to reach out on a quarterly basis. But then again, if the client says no, well, there's not much you can do. But if the client says yes, then okay, we say, well, this actually costs you this much. It's not something we do for free, because it's going to be extra hours. Somebody has to deal with it. And then again, some people say no, unfortunately, because they say, well, I'm already paying you monthly. Why should I pay you extra for this? Well, it's a new service.
Yeah.
And this is the issue. This is why communication, communication, communication. You have to explain. So we had an issue last week. I wouldn't call it an issue. But then last week, a client said, can we have a management account? So the team member said, so-and-so wants a management. I said, okay, go on Xero. Xero does really good management reporting. Send them the report. They didn't say what they wanted it for. So I thought it was for in-house purposes. So he sent it. They came back saying, oh, the bank didn't accept that. Can we have management accounts that looks like statutory accounts? Because that's what bank wanted. I said, well, I said to the team member, go back, explain there's going to be additional cost, because this is something that not only stand on the direct debit agreement or engagement letter.
Yeah.
And they said, came back saying, yeah, fine, we know it's going to go. And then it was done, they've sent to the bank. Hopefully the bank now agrees and they've got their, loan for whatever. And I know they're sort of looking to buy new stocking for their sort of Christmas and New Year. So hopefully this works. But again, as long as there's a communication and as you said, it's sometimes it's too late. But that's why we try to make sure it's not too late.
Exactly, exactly. And do you get many business owners that are looking to sell their business and so they need help preparing it for sale?
Unfortunately, they don't tell us. It's like as if we are going to be against it, but there has been quite a lot of people that want to retire, and sometimes the kids or the family, other family members don't want to take over the business. So they are looking at selling it, but we are the last to hear it, unfortunately. Because if they told us, we'll be able to help them, you know, get things into good shape and help them to sell it. But it's very strangely, we are the last to hear.
Yeah. And if they told you earlier, what would you do to help them?
Well, get the business ready, you know, sit down and discuss the issues that are, you know, which if anybody buying a business will have a due diligence and they will tell those. So it's better to point out before you go into, you know, point out to the buyer, these are the issues that you may have. This is why I'm sort of stating this price, or this is why, you know, maybe this is why I'm selling as well, because I don't want to take this anymore. Less.
Yeah. And so what are your plans for your business? Are you looking to carry on growing, or where are you at in terms of your own growth plans?
So we are, I mean, at the moment we are sort of, as I said, five partner practice, three offices in London, about 700 clients, and always looking to get a new clients and always trying to improve the service we provide. Always trying to do the next thing for a client. And so we are always, you know, nowadays, there's new things being introduced. You know, ESG reporting, wasn't it, affecting the medium sizes now, affecting the medium-sized businesses. There's always something coming, because even though a lot of people thought coming out of EU, there'll be nothing new coming, although we are out of EU, everything that happens in EU affects us. It's still, because if you want to sell to EU or deal with EU, you have to have those implemented in the UK now. So although we are out of EU, there are still, whatever they decide, we have to impose it here, and we also deal with it here. So our job is to help the clients to grow, to survive. 2025 has been really difficult for a lot of people because of, you know, a lot of different reasons. So I'm hoping 26 is going to be a lot better. And talking to clients, I had a client meeting this morning, one of those meetings that I'm talking about, just to see, you know, where they are, what's happening. And they were saying, well, you know, we put in three new project bids. We hope that it's happening, and it sounds like it is going to happen. So hopefully 26 is a lot better.
And what do you think made 2025 challenging for a lot of businesses?
I think the uncertainty with the budgets, that really killed probably 3 months, because nobody knew what was going to happen, and there was a lot of talk about this and that, and stopped a lot of people investing because they weren't sure what was going to happen. And the increase in the national insurance contribution affected a lot of businesses, and they stopped employing, which was, to me, it's the wrong thing to do. If you got work to do, employ people to get the work done, and that's how you pay people. I think the cash, there was not much cash available for investment, because the bonds in the UK market, UK government bonds, were giving a lot of money. So a lot of money went to the UK government bonds instead of being available in the market for to be lended to businesses. So there was a number of issues. And obviously, nobody mentions the elephant in the room, Trump, you know, just changing, just making the whole global businesses crazy with all those new tariffs, and nobody knew what was happening. So there has been a number of factors.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, Emil, well, thank you very much for sharing all that. Is there anything else you'd like to share with the audience before we wrap it up?
Yeah, sure. I think 26 sounds going to be a lot better. So, and also we're hoping that there'll be a Bank of England, hopefully, will cut the rates next week. That's what the indicators are. That's all positive. So hopefully we'll have a nice Christmas and a better 26 than 25.
Absolutely. Well, Enver Kanner, Accounting Direct Plus. Well, thank you very much for being a guest, and wishing you all the best for 2026. And if anyone wants to get in touch with you, we'll make it very easy for them to do so by putting a link to your website and LinkedIn in the comments.
Thank you. Thanks, Tom.
Thanks for listening. As I mentioned at the beginning of the episode, this podcast was created to celebrate the success stories of seven-figure business owners, giving them a platform to share their insights and lessons learned in order to inspire other business owners. As well as that, it's an opportunity to build new connections. So if you're a seven-figure business owner or someone who works with seven-figure business owners and you're looking for introductions to potential stakeholders, strategic partners, and clients, I'd love to hear from you or have you on as a guest and see if I can help make those connections for you. Just go to synergycfosolutions.co. That's synergycfosolutions.co and click podcast. On that page, you'll find the link to apply.